Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
We're looking at the laws of marriage because we are interested in having good homes, good families that will culminate into a good church. When you see a society broken down, you can trace it to broken homes. When you see men or women failing and having issues in their lives to battle with, most times you can also trace it to homes that are disjointed and broken. It's very important that if the society will be okay, if the church will be okay, if our nation will be okay, then our homes must be okay, because the home is the smallest unit of a society. The home is the smallest unit of a community. The home is the smallest unit of the church. Everybody you see seated in church come from home. So the church at home must be good so that the church outside the home can be excellent. And that's why we cannot trade, we cannot overemphasize, we cannot de-emphasize the importance of peace at home, the importance of good homes that will be a springboard for good churches, for good families, for good society. And it is my earnest desire that God will heal every wound in our homes. God will mend every crack walls in our homes. And God will give our home the sweetness, the harmony that is needed to launch us into fulfilling divine destiny. God needed to bring redemption to mankind, and he wasn't going to do that without making himself to be available as a human being on the earth. And if God was going to come to live on the earth as a human being, he will not just come bodily, he will come just like every other human being, so that he will not distort the order, or he will not distort the law of childbirth and growth and then adulthood. And so God decided that I am going to send my son, Jesus Christ, who will represent my interests on the earth. He will be born as a human. He will live and grow as a human. He will feed as a human. He will interact and relate with other human beings. And then he will ultimately fulfill the purpose of redeeming mankind back to me. But if that is going to happen, this my son must be born to a home. And so God will need a home to perpetuate his will. And then God checked on the earth and found a home between Joseph and Mary. And God had confidence to send a son through this home. Jesus lived as a human being with this man and his wife for more than 30 years of his life. He lived on the earth for 33 and a half years. So for 33 and a half years, he lived in a home. He was brought up as a child. He was raised up as a child. And he didn't deviate. So the home is very important, because out of the home, God will raise leaders. Out of the home, God will raise pastors. Out of the home, God will raise politicians. And so the home is a springboard for the will of God. That's why in the book of Malachi chapter 2, God said the reason for a man and a woman coming together is so that they can raise a holy seed unto the Lord. So God is interested in what is happening in every Christian home, because in that home, God has confidence. The next president could just come from that home. But the question is, can God have trust between you and your husband to send you a Samuel? It was a home that raised a Samuel, and it became a prophet that his words would not fall to the ground. It was a home that raised the Jesus, and it became the Savior of the world. It was a home that raised Peter, James, and John. It was a home. Now I ask myself, what am I going to raise unto the Lord? If God is depending on my family, if God is depending on me and my wife to raise for his kingdom seeds that will shape this world, would we be able to give unto God such seeds? That is where homes are very important. And of course, you know that no home begins without marriage. So marriage is the seed that produces home. We have mentioned about three laws. Number one, we have talked about the law of purpose, that there is a reason for coming together. And I tell you, as a woman, as a man, when you marry, find out, why am I married to him? What am I supposed to be doing in his life? What role am I supposed to be playing in our life? What am I supposed to be bringing in on the table of marriage? That is purpose. Don't allow somebody that you got married or your spouse to be worse off than she was or he was before marriage. Marriage is supposed to bring us to the peak of our performance. So there must be purpose in marriage. And the second law we talked about is the law of the triangle. The law of the triangle simply states that every one of us individually will make effort to get to God. And when we get to God, we will meet there. Because God is one. There are no gray areas in God. Now what God is telling the man is also telling the woman. God cannot be bribed. God cannot take sides. God is not partial. He is called the just God. So when the man is doing everything possible to get to God, the woman is also doing everything to get to God. When the both of them get to God, they will arrive at peace. They will arrive at unity. They will arrive at oneness. Because the man knows the Lord. The woman knows the Lord. The man fears the Lord. The woman fears the Lord. And the Bible says, a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And of course, the fear of the Lord is what makes people to depart from evil. So we have the law of the triangle. So as a husband, strive to know the Lord. Don't depend only on your wife's prayer. As a wife, strive to know the Lord. Don't depend only on your husband's relationship with God. Because in God, we'll have individual relationship. And then we also looked at the law of precedence. What should come before what? In mathematics or in arithmetic, we were taught in primary school that you don't count two until you count one. So if you begin at two, you are failed. You need to begin at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Even if you are conversant with your counting, you can't start from 10 and say 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. That's not the proper way to count it. They will tell you, you are correct, you know the numbering, but you need to start from 1, 2, 3, because 1 precedes 2, and 2 precedes 3, and 3 precedes 4. That is how it is. So in marriage, we have the law of precedence. Which one is important? We do things in the order of importance. In economics, we were told scale of preference. Beginning to do things in their order of value, in their order of importance. So in marriage, you understand that marriage precedes family, because it is marriage that produces a family. And that's why in Genesis 2 and verse 24, God said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. You see that cleaving? They too shall become one flesh, and then they will produce family. So we must understand that we don't begin to devote attention to family. You see, I want my family to grow, and then we are neglecting marriage. I'd like you to know that marriage and family are two different things. Praise God. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Family is what marriage produces. Family is an offshoot of marriage. No marriage, no family. When a man and a woman comes together, they produce a family. So we must not devote attention to making a family work and then neglect marriage. Today, I'd like us to look at the next law, the law of differences. Now, this is very important, the law of differences. Now, this is also very interesting and powerful law, which you must never violate. God created the two of you differently, and you need to understand it. Have you noticed that it is natural for women to have long hairs? Praise God. It's natural for women to do what? To have long hairs. If a man have long hairs, people would tend to say he looks like a woman, true or false. When a child is giving birth to, and the child is so hairy, if it's a male child, tendencies are that somewhere along the line, the mother will begin to plait the child's hair through her phones. Have you seen mothers plaiting their male children's hair? Because it looks like a woman. So they will just need to treat him like a woman. So that means that we are created differently. We are made differently. So because we are made differently, we see things differently. So we must understand this law of differences, because it will allow us to mate. And let me say this. If you are going to put two things together for them to marry, you don't bring two things with the same shape if you are going to plug them together. In electricity, there's what we call switch, sockets and plugs. Now, you see that the socket will have holes on them, whether round holes or square holes. And now you are going to have what they plug into it. Now, what they are going to use to plug into it, that whether two-hand plug or whatever, is going to have long projected teeth or fingers. Now, if you are going to put it, you will put it and will insert it, it will enter. But if you bring something that does not have those projected fingers, you can't attach it to that. That is differences. And now, when I see two people marry, the husband has anger issue. The wife also has anger issue. It's only one indication that they didn't pray very well. Praise God. They didn't pray. Because if you follow God, God does not bring similar things together. He brings differences. The kingdom of God thrives on differences, not on similarities. I say that again. The kingdom of God thrives on differences, not on similarities. God will bring somebody to you that is stronger in the area that you are weak. Now that's the combination. He brings someone that is stronger in the area that you are weak for you. So when you meet with two persons who are stronger in the same area and weak in the same area, something is not right. Because God brings this one that is strong in this area and this one is weak in this area so that they can complement each other. That's the law of differences. And the greatest things that happen to men that can bring about progress is differences. God in Genesis chapter 1 said to man, replenish the earth. A man was supposed to grow, reproduce after his kind, replenish the earth. But in Genesis chapter 11, the men decided they will not grow anywhere. They don't want to replenish the earth. They want to stay in one place. And the Bible said in those days, the earth was of one language. So they decided, we don't want to go far. So they started building a tower that will be big enough to contain them and their generations after them. And when God saw that what they were about doing would be successful, God decided to confuse them. And guess what God did? He changed their language. And so this person will say to this person, good morning. And he say, it doesn't understand. I'm a Sierra. And he said, what do you mean? And then when this other person is saying, hey, Caro, he say, what are you talking about? So before you know, when I tell you I'm a Sierra and you don't understand, I move to another person. I say, I'm a Sierra. He doesn't understand. I move to another person. I'm a Sierra and he understands. And say, I'm a Sierra. And I say, okay, this one is my man. Before you know, you find those who understand your language. Before you know it, they divided. So Calabar people stay this way. Yoruba people stay this way. Ogoni people stay this way. Ikwere people stay this way. Igbo people like that. Even in Igbo and Calabar, you have your own, you have the Eket and all of that. Those divisions started coming and people separated. And then production started happening. And the mind of God was fulfilled. The earth was being replenished. Now, God thrives on differences. So differences should not be a weakness. The fact that your husband does not like what you like should not be a problem. It should be strength. Now, one of the reasons we are having issues in our country, for instance, in Nigeria, is because of diversities of culture, diversities of tongue. But this is actually supposed to be strength for us. Differences. So the fact that you are different from your spouse shouldn't be a weakness, shouldn't be a hole in the marriage. That's what we want to talk about. In the law of differences. Now, men and women are not the same. We are different in creation. We are different in roles. We are different in function. And God wants us to celebrate our differences. Don't expect your husband to behave like you. Otherwise, you have two women at home. Don't expect your wife to behave like you. Otherwise, we have two men in the house. And I've often said that when a man is a man, a woman will be a woman. Praise God. When husbands are husbands, wives will be wives. When a wife begins to behave like a husband, there's going to be trouble. And when a husband begins to behave like a wife, there's going to be trouble. Have you seen a husband behaving like a wife before? I've seen many wives who behave like husbands. Many women who behave like men. They want to be the one to attend the compound meeting. They say they are having tenant meeting. The wife wants to attend, not the husband. He will tell the husband, don't worry, let me attend. Praise God. And every time she attends, she will cause trouble for the husband. Praise God. Be satisfied at your role. Enjoy that difference. We are different in roles. We are different in creation. So, I don't expect my wife to think the way I'm thinking. I don't expect my husband to think the way I'm thinking. We have different ways. So we need to celebrate our differences. We need to exploit it. We need to enhance our differences. For instance, men report matters, whereas women share. Men are good at reporting matters. You know, a man can come to you and say, from Garrison down to Stadium Road, the traffic is something else. Building up from Garrison, you see cars line up. They are not even moving. The man is through. Tell the woman to tell you that same story. Then the woman will tell you from Garrison till Stadium Road. You see those people carrying banana, the people carrying granite, the people carrying... she will bring in all the pictures, including the vehicles. And she can even tell you the color of each vehicle on the line. She'll tell you, do you know that even in that traffic, a man almost batched on us? The man is not interested in that details. But the woman will give you detail. Every time my mother of blessed memory called me and said, I wanted to talk with me, I know that I need to create time. Because she will tell you story and you are still thinking. After like 20 minutes, you are thinking where she is driving at. You are thinking, what does she want to say now? And then when she finished the whole story, she will come back. Now, what she wanted to tell you was that the way you talked yesterday in the church, you are not supposed to talk like that. And you wonder, but you are supposed to have told me straight ahead. But she can take you back to the village, what happened in the farm, between one boy and one woman, like that, like that. That's a woman for you. And so we must understand that. So that when your wife says, I want to talk with you, you say, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. Go straight to the point. Women don't know how to go straight to the point. They know how to go bend to the point. They don't know how to go straight. Women, are you here? No, we don't know how to go straight to the point. For us to get to the point as women, we need to go through corners. It's only a man that knows how to go straight. Praise God. So we must understand those differences. That when a woman wants to talk, it talks from her emotion. Because everything she sees, she assesses it from her heart. Why the men assess things from their head? That's a man for you. Looks at it from the head angle. While that thing you are doing to that woman, I see you can call a man a goat. Say, get out there, you are a goat. And the man gets angry and leave. And comes back the next day and doesn't remember you called him a goat. Call a woman, get out there, you are a goat. 2 years after. After you have bought the car for her, done everything. One day she will say, nobody say goat, they behave. I think you say I'll be goat. And you are wondering, where is this coming from? You have even forgotten that you called her a goat. Are we together? That is how they are created. That's how they were fabricated. And so we must understand these differences. And then begin to deal with them. I'm told that women, they keep memory a lot. And it's true. Sometimes I need to ask my wife, when exactly was this particular child born? Which year? And she doesn't need to look at birth certificate. She will tell you 15th December 1990. But sometimes I'm confused whether is it 15th or 16th. Is it 1990? But she can tell you exactly. They keep memory. Women don't forget things. They remember many things. So don't ever tell your wife you forget things a lot. They don't forget. They remember many things. Praise God. So when you are going together, you are supposed to go for a program. And you have told her 3 days ago. You are finished. After she has delayed you 30 minutes for doing the normal painting. And then you think that's all over. You have finally breathed a sigh of relief. Now let's go. Both of you are walking towards the car. Hey, excuse me. She's running back to the house. What happened? I forgot Pampers, the boy's Pampers. Oh, and then she go get the Pampers. You think the battle is over. And then you enter the car before you start. Hey. We are supposed to carry water for the baby in case he needs to drink water. And then she goes out again. If you don't know, you will drive the car and move. And say, I can't wait any longer. But when you move, know that you will come back. Praise God. So you know that you are going to come back. And when you come back, you will complete what you started. So it's better you wait and get angry. There was a time I used to get angry like that. But now I'm learning that we can't continue to get angry like this. Because this thing has become part and parcel of them. If what you are supposed to inform her is 2 days' time, add 1 day, make it 3 days. So that extra 1 day is for you to just relax yourself. Are you with me now? So you understand that. For instance, men report matters, whereas women share. You would do well not to listen to what a woman is saying, rather than listening to what she means. If you are listening to what a woman is saying, you may miss what she is trying to tell you. Listen to what she means. Praise God. Now, as a man, as a husband, learn to listen. What does she mean? Not what she's saying. Because a lot of times, what they say can get you angry. But what they say may actually be different from what they mean. That's very true of women. Very true of women. Oftentimes, when a man says something, there is 90% chances that he means it. But what a woman is saying may be different from what she means. Praise the Lord. So we must understand that. Men reason logically while women feel and reason at the same time. So a woman feels it and then he reasons. I have heard and read scientifically that as children grow and develop, the right side of their brain, which controls logic, keeps growing in boys. While the left side, which controls feeling, emotions, and so on, stops growing. Scientifically, that's what scientists say. As a male child is growing, the right side of the brain that controls logic will continue to grow. But for women, that side will stop growing. And the other side will continue to grow. So, women are lovers, for instance. Why men thrive in achievement? Love means much to a woman, while achievement means more to a man. That's how men and women are. When a woman say, I love you, you know plenty of one, no plenty, we no mean now. When a woman say, I love you, but when a man say, I love you, sit down first. Hello? I think this one will benefit those who are single. When a man say, I love you, sometimes we can even say, I love you more than my mother. Praise God. You are the sugar in my tea. You are the cockroach. No, I can't say you are the... If somebody say you are the cockroach in my cupboard, that's danger. You are the only woman in my life. If I miss you, I die. Run away. Praise God. But if a woman is saying that, you can relax. A woman talks out of a lot of conclusion. I've concluded to love him. But if a man says, I love you, he can love many other things. Yeah. So that is how we are wired. We know this difference. So for a man, achievement means a lot. He buys a new car, he's so excited. Have you noticed that a lot of men, including me sometimes, when you don't have money, you tend to be angry easily. When you don't have money. That time your child will just come and say, buy granite for me. I mean granite. And go and sit down. It's not that that man does not love the child. Granite is nothing. But at that time, he does not have money. And as far as he's concerned, there is nothing that means anything to him. I don't have money. So everything is anger. But you know, a woman, even with an empty purse, can sit up a man and say, don't worry. It's going to be fine. Money will come. We will be okay. She doesn't have hope, but she talks something. For a man, it is achievement. My mates are building, I have not built. That man is unhappy. No matter the food you give to him. My mates are buying cars, I can't. That man is not happy. Achievement means a lot. Violating the law of differences can lead to a divorce. A woman is not always so concerned with achievement. A woman can easily say, my dear, I love you. We have each other, and it doesn't matter whether you have shoe or not. A woman can easily say, we have each other. It doesn't matter whether your pockets or your trousers have holes. We can stay together. She means it. Whether you have a tie or not, at least we have each other. We will stay together. But a man is not satisfied with that. He wants to be sure that he's achieving something. Men are achievers, while women are lovers. God made us that way. Praise the Lord.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows: Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling, Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom, Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting, Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.